Chapter 17, Taiwan to Boston. Long before prostitution became illegal in Taiwan, Lily's mother, Zhang, worked as a bar girl, a job Zhang's father had found for her. For months, he sent messages from the island where they lived to a connection in Taipei, and it was arranged. Zhang's mother waved goodbye at their doorway, and he took Zhang on into town, where they would catch a boat. When they docked in Taipei, he left her with a manager at the bar. In this new and frightening world, Zhang was expected to provide comfort services to American soldiers along with their drinks. She took one look at the dark, shabby bar and pleaded with her father to take her home. But he told her that it was time to help support her family, and that was that. Zhang had no knowledge of how to act or what to do. The manager, a woman as old as her mother, taught her how to dress, how to eat politely, and how to smile at the customers when she sat on their laps. She taught Zhang what to say to get men to pay for her. After 2 weeks of training, Zhang was put to work. Each week, the manager would deduct rent from her pay for the rooming house where Zhang shared a bed with two other girls. Zhang always sent the rest of the money home. It wasn't long before Zhang's belly became swollen with a child. It was unseemly for her to be a bar girl in her maternity clothes, and the manager sent her home in shame. When Zhang's baby girl was born, she named her Lily. Her father beat Zhang for this failure, and as soon as her wounds healed, he sent men to her room so that Zhang could still support the family. By the time Lily was 10, she had received very little schooling, although Zhang made sure that she learned to read and write, sending her to the only neighbor she knew with those skills. During the day, Lily helped with the cleaning, cooking, and her lessons. In her spare time, she'd watch what her Zhang did with men through a keyhole. Occasionally, Lily saw the men beat her mother, and she wept for both her mother's pain and humiliation, as well as her own helplessness. She vowed that one day she'd be powerful. She knew that she'd never let men beat her. She would kill them first. Even at 10, she had seen how men looked at her perfect almond eyes, creamy skin offset by her sheet of black hair. Her body was slender and beautiful as a budding flower. She'd glare back at any man who stared at her just a moment too long. She didn't want her mother's life. The best thing in her world was the stray cat that came slinking around for food. There wasn't much left over, but she always saved something in her bowl for him. The gray cat sat by the door to their house, watching for her with golden eyes. When Lily appeared, he would pace impatiently until she set the dish before him and he'd devour its contents. Then she would sit on the stoop and hold him as he gave himself a bath with his pink paws. She had never loved anything like that cat, who rubbed against her and purred when she caressed his belly. Still, the cat remained unnamed, since Zhang wouldn't allow Lily to bring him inside. When Lily was 15, Zhang said that was time for Lily to go to work, too. She took Lily on the boat to Taipei, as her father had once taken her. She searched the streets for the bar where she had worked, but it had been torn down and replaced by a parking garage. They walked the streets where big buildings had sprouted in her absence. While Zhang tried to figure out what to do, she knew that Lily was hungry. She stopped at a plaza outside of a large office building where she'd noticed some people sitting on the concrete eating their lunches. She pulled a container of spiced chicken and rice from her bag and then handed Lily some chopsticks. While they were eating, a woman about Zhang's age sat down nearby. As Zhang talked to Lily, the woman kept looking over at them. Finally, she called out, "Is your name Zhang?" Zhang squinted at her. "Li Min?" Suddenly, Zhang and Li Min hugged and screamed. Lily was shocked to see her mother behave like this. Had her mother had friends? When the two women finally calmed down, Zhang introduced Li Min to Lily as one of the girls she'd shared a room with when she'd worked in Taipei. Li Min told Zhang
about how the bar had been closed when the government changed its laws, making prostitution illegal. The girls were let go and had to find other work. Li Min been lucky and had married Wang Wei, a karate master at a martial arts studio. Zhong told her how she had brought Lily over on the boat to find work. Li Min was quiet for a moment. "Do you know how to clean and cook?" she asked Lily. Lily nodded solemnly. "Of course. That had been her job while her mother worked." "Well, I will take you to the home where you can live with us and clean and cook until you find work," Li Min told Lily. "What do you pay her?" interjected Zhong. "We can only give her a place to live." "No," said Zhong. "It's the best I can do, but perhaps my husband, Wang Wei, will teach her karate." It was agreed. Lily and Zhong met Li Min later that day at the address that Li Min had scribbled on a piece of paper. At 5 o'clock, Lily and Zhong strolled down the lantern-lined, crowded street in an older section of Taipei to Li Min's house. The packed narrow streets were with colorful storefronts with open-air stalls. Each house was painted in a different pastel color, and on top had a living space with an open porch. They had iron bars to keep out burglars, giving the impression of jail cells. Finally, they found the sign for Dragon Martial Arts. It was on the street level of a red house, and they could see the open-air dojo. Inside, children wearing white gis with assorted belt colors were performing katas in unison with their teacher. Zhong rang the buzzer on for the door that led to the steps that would take them upstairs. After a short wait, they heard someone coming down the steps, and Li Min swung the door open and invited them inside. Upstairs, the main room looked grand to Lily. It had two black leather couches and a large TV on the wall. She gaped at this, since few people in her village owned a TV. Next to it was a floor-to-ceiling aquarium, filled with golden koi, as big as cats. Lily gasped. It was the finest home that she had ever seen. The main room was bigger than the entire dark apartment where she had lived with her mother. "You like?" asked Li Min. Not trusting her voice, Lily just nodded. "Good. I will show you where you sleep." Lily and Zhong followed her down a long white hallway to a room hardly bigger than a closet and just big enough to hold a cot. Still, it looked so clean, and it had a real door, not just a hanging curtain like she'd had at home. What else did she need? Zhong beamed at Li Min. It was agreed. Lily hugged her mother goodbye. "Time for you to cook dinner," said Li Min. When Lily was gone, "I will show you to the kitchen." Every dawn, Lily prepared breakfast before cleaning the dojo. She loved the spotless open space of the dojo, with its wooden floor and mirrored wall in the front. It was empty in the morning, but later in the day it would be filled with students practicing their drills and routines. The side walls had two framed prints, one of a ferocious dragon and one of a crane. The sparring room in the back had hooks that held face masks and padding. This more private room was dark with no windows. It was only for the more serious students and had a certain mystery of earned privilege. She wondered if she would ever be good enough to use that room. After cleaning the dojo, and before she was free to take lessons, Lily had to prepare meals and clean Li Min's house. It was a hard schedule for a young girl, but she looked forward to her karate class at the end of each day, where she joined the class. Sometimes after dinner, she'd get some private help with Wang Wei. As a white belt beginner, Lily didn't even know how to make a fist. In her first class, Wang Wei patiently unclenched her slender fingers and reorganized them, placing her thumb on the outside. He explained she was less likely to break it this way when she threw a punch. Lily quickly learned her blocks and punches through his repetitive drills, taking inspiration from the energy in the class, as they would loudly ki-ai in military unison. She was also inspired by the image of the dragon on the wall. Remembering how her father was treated, she tried to absorb its fierceness, mentally defeating her mother's attackers with every punch she threw into the air. She learned her katas, and within a year, she had tested out of 3 belts. Lily's technique was impeccable, and by the time she was 18, she had earned her black belt. Wang Wei was as proud of her as a daughter and encouraged her to become a master. One night, Li Min sent her to the market to get extra food for dinner, since they were to have company. It was nightfall, but even though her neighborhood was sometimes tough, Lily was not afraid of the dark. She could take care of herself. She cut behind the houses to the alley where she would save time. As she walked, she heard the loud screams of a woman begging someone to leave her alone. There were violent crashes. Lily ran towards the sounds, and as she turned into someone's yard, she saw a young hoodlum attempting to rape one of Lily's neighbors at knife point. Without thinking, Lily kicked the knife from his hand, punched his solar plexus, and kneed his groin. He moaned with pain, crashing into a row of trash cans as he doubled over. In another swift kick to his knees, she took him down to the ground. Lily told the woman to remove her pantyhose. She obliged. While Lily rolled the man over into his stomach, Lily tied the pantyhose like handcuffs around his wrists while the woman called the police. When a squad car arrived, the police took the man away. Moments later, a second car arrived to take the woman to the station to make a statement, where a reporter interviewed Lily. The next morning, there was a big photo of her in the paper with an article about how she had saved her neighbor. The following day, Wang Wei went downstairs to the dojo to do paperwork in his office. Lily was cleaning the studio bathroom when she heard a visitor jingle the door and walk across the dojo with heavy footsteps. She was surprised, since people always remove their shoes before entering and move silently across the wooden floor. An hour later, Wang Wei yelled for Lily with an unusual request. Could she come to his office to talk? Afraid that something was wrong, Lily sped down the hallway to his office. She was surprised to see an American sitting with Wang Wei in one of the 2 chairs in front of the black lacquer desk. Wang Wei told Lily to sit down, and he introduced Jerry Fox to her as she took the other chair. Wang Wei, who spoke English moderately well, explained that Mr. Fox was in Taipei on business and he wanted a bodyguard at home. Mr. Fox had seen the article in the paper and was impressed. If Lily was interested in the job, he would take her back to the States, where he promised to educate her and teach her English in exchange for her work. Lily took in the man's graying ponytail and scowl. He didn't look like a nice man, but she could take care of herself. America! She would go to school and could become an American. She smiled, bowed as much as she could in her chair. Yes, she would go.